anything at all, sir. What a 180 on the musical interlude. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that one.
Thought I'd switch it up.
A little bit of a switch. Absolutely. Kanye to the Cheeseburger in Paradise, master. That was the Jimmy Buffett, right? What was I listening to?
Oh, of course, Jimmy Buffett.
I don't think you could confuse that with anyone else. Who has taken on the mantle of the modern day Jimmy Buffett? No one. See?
No one, huh? Yeah.
Problem. Where's Post Malone, maybe? I don't know. He's kind of got that vibe. Like, I could see myself enjoying one of those pina coladas and, like, a coconut cup, you know, and the umbrella and the straw, and hanging with Post Malone, right? I could see myself, you could maybe see Post Malone there.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It was just so cool, so smooth. The flip-flops, the Hawaiian shirt, you know?
I'm nearly not a fan of Post Malone. I don't even know most of his music, I'll be honest. I've just heard a couple tunes.
I've heard him do more covers. I love the covers he does.
Yeah.
He'll do Sublime, Nirvana.
He's got the face tattoos, and I see him from time to time rocking, I think, a Hawaiian shirt. I don't know why I have that image in my head.
I think you're right, yeah.
He strikes me as a beach-faring, bum-like fella with the flip-flops and the Hawaiian shirt, even though he's got the face tats. And probably likes to sip on some booze and smoke some doobies.
Yeah, sounds about right. Okay, you know.
And that's going based off of zero knowledge. I know absolutely nothing about the fella. I know none of his music. I've never researched or anything. But that's my lowdown on Post Malone.
I think you're listening to him on the boat, you know?
Yeah, he seems like
you're on that boat just cruising, chilling.
Yeah, we need like a yacht rock resurgence or a yacht music resurgence. Because even when we were growing up, we had the Big Pimpin'. Like, even the hip hoppers were getting into the boating. Remember Big Pimpin'? It was just Jay-Z and his fellas on a boat, and they're pimpin', and they got the chicks dancing around them.
Back then they were spending cheese. You know how much cheese costs nowadays?
Especially in Bidenomics. Good call. There's not a lot of cheese to go around. Yeah.
Even the rapper now is a little yachty. You know, he's a fair big yachty. So.
Actually, he's a little pontoon boat nowadays. We're cruising on the pontoon.
One pontoon.
A little pontoony.
A little canoe.
We're cutting back on the expenses this year, guys.
Terrible.
All right, man. Yeah, no modern Jimmy Buffett. I guess it'll be that way forever, right? We'll just have the one Jimmy. You know, the Margaritaville. It's one of my favorite parts about perusing the downtown strip of the Las Vegas area. It's an adult Disney World, basically, at this point. They have literal roller coasters for adults there and all that stuff. But the Margaritaville, they're just pumping the Jimmy Buffett greatest hit CD on repeat over and over and over and over again. Yeah, round and round. Yeah, round and round. And so
you get old.
Oh, yeah, but if you're just walking by and you're getting drunk and you got one of those giant, tall, colorful, wacky glasses filled with the rum and the slushy, oh, dude, you keep walking by to refill the rum drink, dude. Doesn't matter how many times you hear Cheeseburger in Paradise. It's fresh every time. You love it, man.
Are those a real thing? Those big...
Oh, yeah. If you've never been to Vegas or kind of hung out in the strip, yeah, I think it's around somewhere where the Margaritaville used to be, or if it still is there, but it's this joint where you walk up and you buy the glass, I think, or it's not a glass, it's a giant plastic, you know, acrylic, wacky tube, and they have like several different kind of slushy machines, like if you were in a 7-Eleven, essentially. And they're boozified, and you fill them up with the booze slushy, and you walk around Vegas with the crazy straw and everything. Yeah, it's you go to Vegas, you just see a bunch of fat whales walking around with these super slushies filled with rum and booze, and they're just wasted, man. And now, because they legalized the pot, you're getting wafts of you know, cannabis smoke all in your face every corner you turn, which I'm, you know, not opposed to. I love good whiff of pot. Oh, yeah.
First thing we ever did was legalize it.
Well, first of all, Vegas would be the place to have the legal weed.
That would, I mean, you got the prostitution.
Have the pot. They should have the yeah. shrooms and everything there in Vegas. I mean, just honestly, we've got this controlled zoo called Vegas and the Strip. Just let us have it. You're just right in this little zoo zone. You know, it's controlled. If you venture out of Vegas, you're not going very far, man. I mean, it's the freaking desert, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, so you're staying in the little zone in your 15-minute city there in Vegas. Some of these casinos, dude, go to the MGM Grand, dude. You don't have to leave. You could literally be in the MGM Grand all week. You got the pool. The pool itself is its own city. It's incredible.
I like where you're going, though. That should be the place where everything's illegal.
Yeah, dude, I should be able to buy some legit acid and take a controlled amount of some acid and just kind of walk around the casino. Oh, man, you know, but I'm not going to go get behind a car or anything, you know, so it's just you can hang out in the pool with your acid.
At least, like, the Strip should be no kids allowed, nobody under 21.
Yes, I...
And you do whatever you want, man. You do whatever you want.
When you see the kids there, it is a rough scene, and I get it. Sometimes maybe I can foresee some scenarios where there's kids, but not even still. I mean, Emma goes to Vegas all the time for her CBD conventions and to sell the kind of CBD infused inhaler like vaporizer gizmos that they have, and the conventions that she goes to that push the CBD stuff are the same ones where they got the tobacco and all this other, you know, death row guys are there. I showed you the pictures. You got Mike Tyson and Seth Rogen, and they're pushing their wacky Delta 9 THC stuff. And in these conventions, they're selling vibrators and dildos, and they got women with nipple pasties walking around and their entire asses out. Like, this is not a place for kids, man. Vegas is for adults only, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Not only that, you walk on the Strip, you got the migrants there tapping their cards that they got with the nudie ladies on there, you know, the phone numbers, and just to go to get yourself a little escort for the evening. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, here we don't have the cards, but we got the prostitutes.
Yes.
Got prostitutes, I can tell you that.
Yeah, you...
I must look like a lonely man, because they're always coming up to me. I really look that lonely.
Something about the way I look, man. Well, you know what it is? You're walking around in an area where they're probably being approached by fellas who aren't as well kept as you. So you look like a guy with some money compared to the rest of the slums that are coming their way, right?
I have a haircut. Is what you're saying.
Well kept, showered, clean.
Showered.
Yeah. You have some hygiene of some sort, so they'd rather be solicited by you rather than, you know, whatever bum is coming out of the corners there.
That's a good call. Probably more like it.
All right, man. Well, what do we got on the docket today? I did mention that I wanted to do a little John Kerry. And
gotta hear what John Kerry.
You do want
John Kerry. Gonna save the world,
man. John Kerry, I gotta say, and let's get him up on the screen here so you can see him, but I, you know, he's warning us that, you know, we're all gonna die from the climate change, but I'm warning you, John Kerry, you look like you're gonna die.
Oh,
dude.
Oh, God.
Forget about the earth, bro. Take care of yourself for a minute, man.
That should be the face of the vaccinated.
Yes.
Holy shit. You're not kidding, dude.
Come and get your third booster.
John Kerry, the world might die. Not before you, buddy. Not before you.
Pfizer face got you down? Yeah, man. Oh, my God.
Did you take Paxlovid? Was it?
He's trained Paxlovid, man. Oh, no. Popped a little Paxlovid before I went on this interview. Sorry, I got the Justin Bieber going on here.
I You a believer? Look at my eye. Oh man,
he's looking rough.
That's serious.
All right, so okay, so this healthy looking individual now is going to tell us how this is unbelievable, man. Oh boy.
All right, let's go. Let's see what he's going to say.
He's going to tell us what we got to do to save the planet. Here we go. John Kerry.
I am one of the few people on this program without a background.
Doesn't get better when he starts moving.
It was just a still shot. Dude, look at this fucking guy. It's worse in action. Somebody save this man.
Frank, I take back everything you're right. I think they're chemtrailing, but just over John Kerry.
Just house. Over his ass.
Who else can explain this?
Well, no, the chemtrails are from John Kerry crisscrossing the country in his wife's private jet.
Yeah,
but he himself is suffering the consequences.
John, don't take the same path home. You're flying right into your chemtrail, man.
He's walking into his own farts. It's terrible, man. This guy's just, he's suffocating over here. Poor dude.
Sorry, John. Go ahead.
All right. Carry on with your doomsday fear porn, John.
I am one of the few people on this program without a background in health, other than.
We can tell, dude. Don't worry. We can tell you have no background in health. It's very clear. Thank you, but thank you for telling us.
You can skip that. You skipped that part
other
of the intro.
Trying hard to live healthily, but there's really no polite way to put it. The climate crisis is killing people. It is knowingly, wittingly allowing people to die and infecting them with disease and providing them with air that kills people because we're not willing to take the steps necessary to do what we know we need to do. And what people have been screaming about for 30 years, 35 years plus now. Many of us were in Rio. I was there in 1988 when Jim Hansen first testified to us.
This is the man. He's saying we're not doing what we know we need to do. You owned a fleet of private jets that you rented out.
That's right.
You're the problem. A lot more than Mike the plumber, you know?
I just want to remind everybody too, this is a member of the Skull and Bones, and we all know he's got alternative agendas at foot. He's a Bush fella, just like the Bush. Don't trust this guy. But shall we continue on this death rant? God, this guy is just freaking me out, man. I can't keep looking at him.
The eyes are killing me too, because I was just reading this thing on X. I was like, something in the Diddy ring, one of the guys that was like talking about it, he came out with that thing, panda eyes.
Yeah, Orlando Brown, I saw that he's coming out and saying that the panda eyes is a thing. It's has to do where it's a type of abuse that the elites perpetrate on the youth, where they are doing some sort of activity where the brute force of and nature of the assault is so severe that the eyes pop out of the sockets of the children.
Yeah, while they're raping them. That's, who raped John Kerry?
Oh, no. Do you know the ritual at the Skull and Bones, man? I can assure you it was probably Daddy Bush at the very least.
That's what made me think about it. You said Skull and Bones, man. You know these guys are all fags, dude.
Well, you know, John Kerry there, starting to look like a Skull and Bones himself, just all over. But what's crazy is there's this great clip out there. It's Tim Russert, who used to be the host of Meet the Press. I really enjoyed Meet the Press when Tim Russert was on there. But shortly before he died, and I'm not saying he died mysteriously, but nowadays, with the whole Boeing situation, which everyone forgot about. Anybody remember the Boeing whistleblower who just died mysteriously in the parking lot? But
whistleblower? Did you see P. Diddy?
P-diddler.
Bracket Buster. Alright.
That's right, the Bracket Buster, man. Oh, Caitlin Clark. She's changing the face of basketball.
Everybody really cares about women's basketball. Fuck it. What?
There's this great clip of Tim Russert from Meet the Press in 2004, and it's shortly, very, very shortly before he died, I believe, that he is on the show asking in two separate interviews during the presidential election between George Bush, W. Bush, and John Kerry about their affiliations to the Skull and Bones and how it is bizarre that it was the first election in the history of America where two members of the Skull and Bones were facing off each other, and then he dies.
Well, yeah, don't ask stupid questions.
Yeah, that's right, dude. Nobody asked John Kerry about his affiliation to the Skull and Bones after that. It's pretty interesting. Unbelievable. Ooh. So that's why I'm very skeptical of the John Kerry, a guy who flies around and his wife, Teresa Heinz Kerry, who's the heiress to the Heinz ketchup, empire. I find a lot of what he says to be a bunch of bull, and he seems to have always been at the top of the pyramid when it comes to the power structure of, you know, the elites in DC and Washington, so... I don't trust him, man. He's part of the machine, right? But
there is human climate change. He has caused more of it than anybody on Earth. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So... And it's amazing how they co-opted the word climate change. It is undeniable that the climate changes on this planet. It has been occurring since the inception of this planet, right? Since the birth of the planet or the creation of the planet, whatever you want to call it.
The guy is literally in his office at home. That's bigger than most people's houses. And he's telling you, you're the problem.
Well, and that's funny you say that. I keep looking in the background for the remains of Geronimo, and I can't seem to make them out. I assume they're hidden behind one of the flags there.
And I'm going to pull the flag down.
And I don't want to besmirch John Kerry in any way, considering that he is a veteran, right? He served versus some other people who... opted out and chickened out, right? So at least he was out there, allegedly. I'm sure he didn't actually serve on the front lines, right? I doubt he has a story like Poppy Bush, Herbert Walker Sr., where he's blasted out of the sky, right?
Yeah, where everybody on his plane got eaten by Japanese.
Yeah, there's a lot of mystery on how George Herbert Walker survived, but all his comrades died.
And were eaten. Like, literally, they ate their body, like, parts of their bodies.
But here's the thing. Herbert Walker Bush, a simple, common Texan man. He's just, you know, his brain just doesn't work like the rest of us. Mike, he has no idea what he was doing on the day John F. Kennedy was assassinated. No idea.
You know, so many presidents assassinated throughout his life. It's hard to remember. A lot of days to keep in line.
The thing with Herbert Walker Bush is he was a part of so many coup d'etats, he just can't keep them all, you know, stored away in the old noggin as he aged, man.
It gets harder and harder.
All right, so let's hear the rest of this nonsense and fear-mongering from this Skull and Bones.
I was there in 1988 when Jim Hansen first testified to us about what is happening. And every year now, millions of people around this planet are dying because fossil fuel and methane emissions, called greenhouse gas pollution, not just gas, pollution. And we used to care about pollution. We used to apply a polluter pays principle to the concept of pollution. But now those methane emissions and CO2 emissions and nitrous oxide and other emissions are escaping into the atmosphere, being fed by the way in which we continue to choose to fuel our vehicles, propel our vehicles, heat our homes, light our factories, and so forth.
Yeah, I wonder how much heat it takes to just heat that room he's in.
I know.
I don't have one room in my entire house that's the size of that room.
No. How much does it take to heat, just to heat your private jet?
Thank you.
No, you know what I love about that? Did you notice the emphasis on methane?
Yes, that's because of the cow farts.
No, they're steering away from CO2. You won't really be hearing a lot about CO2 anymore.
And why is that?
It's been almost universally debunked. CO2 makes up, they said, 0.4% of the air in the atmosphere, the ozone, whatever it is, whatever they're worried about. It's like our atmosphere is only 0.4%. And then man-made contributions to that accounts for like 3% of that 0.4%.
Right.
So it's negligible is the whole point. It's not what they thought it was. So now they're shifting again. Remember, it used to be global warming, and then we had to do climate change. Mm. Now, and then with CO2, now we're going to go methane.
All right. We're doing, which I think also goes into the cow farts, and they really want us to stop eating beef. They're obsessed with it.
Yeah, but it's mostly just because the CO2 was a dud. But the one thing nobody's really talking about with methane is the half-life of methane. So, like, it only lasts, like, 10 years in the atmosphere. So it's not, like, all the methane. And that was the other thing about CO2. Is like, they always made it seem like, you put CO2 in the air today, it's going to be there in 1,000 years. It's not going. You know what I mean? But the stuff, it's not like all the CO2 we've ever put in the air is still in the air. Just like the methane. It only takes about 10 years. So what you have up there right now is only the last 10 years worth.
All right.
You know?
Yeah, you know, this all falls back to eggs to me. They're good for you this year, but 5 years ago, oh man, don't eat those eggs, man. You'll get the heart attack, right? It's bad for your cholesterol. But now, like, oh, eat all the eggs you want, but wait, don't eat any eggs. We got the bird flu now. We're going to kill all the chickens and kill all the eggs, right? So it's just like, do I eat the eggs or do I not eat the eggs?
But you never hear the story on the news about how sugar's bad for you. Stop eating sugar. Stop right. eating corn syrup. Stop eating right. McDonald's.
You know what? You never get the doctors warn, stop drinking soda.
Stop drinking sugar. Just stop the sugar. You know what I mean?
Studies indicate a direct link between the rise in cancer and the rise in fructose corn syrup consumption.
Yes.
Maybe.
Also, cancer, diabetes, the obesity, which leads to heart disease. Everything revolves around the sugar and the corn syrup.
Exactly. You should be listening to me, a health expert.
You look better than John Kerry. What I hate about these guys is, like, you're a billionaire and you can't afford to go get some sun? Just go hang out in the sun.
In the yard, man. Well, that's how you know he's a reptilian, dude. These reptiles, which is why I believe in the chemtrail theory mostly, or the idea that they want to geoengineer the Earth and cool it down. If these are truly reptilians that we're dealing with, those who are in power, they don't like a warm climate. They want to cool the Earth, man. And look at all of them. They're pale like vampires, dude. All of these elites, dude. They get zero sun.
Yeah, reptiles are warm-blooded. They would want to warm the Earth.
Amphibians,
too. There's no amphibians in the North Pole.
Let me just ride with this imagination, okay? I'm on a rant here, and I'm feeling good, and I like where my head is at, all right? Don't bring me down. I'm here. Don't bring me here. Come on, man.
Get out of here with those science facts. Come on.
So a lot of my Bush knowledge, and the reason why I'm big on the Bush clan being in so much, you know, in charge of so much of the kind of conspiratorial stuff that's gone on over the last several decades, is this book that I've been really into, and I'm really there. It is Family of Secrets by Russ Baker. I highly, highly recommend everyone to read this. But what I've
that's
been
boy, huh?
Well, there's a lot of secrets in this Bush family.
If you wrote a book about Mike's secrets, it'd be about 3 pages.
Yes. You could do the spark notes for that one. But what I find interesting is it's a big honker. So, you know, I'm dabbling into various parts and kind of going back even at times because I'm going into other books and what have you. And it's a thick read. There's a lot of names and it goes deep, but you got to kind of go along the ride, because it is pretty interesting and important to know how the Bushes are connected through their oil adventures and through their Secret Service, you know, occupations and what have you. There's just a big interlinking web. But what I find fascinating is I bought that book that I talked about in a previous episode, Children of the Matrix, David Icke. Fun read. I bought it to have a fun read, you know, to go down. I wanted to have a little backing on the, you know, Anunnaki reptilian stuff, because we were talking about it a lot. And I know that this is kind of considered one of the main books if you want to dive into it. And it goes deep into history, Sumerian, Babylonian, all that stuff. But what's crazy is a lot of the names that are popping up in the Children of the Matrix reptilian are a lot of the names that pop up in The Family of Secrets by Russ Baker. The same names, dude. It's weird, okay? So I've read ahead further on the Bush Family Secrets, and as I'm perusing through the reptilian book, the conspiratory book, the same people are... This is the same characters, man. You know, I mean, maybe something's been going on here that we should try to wake it up to. I don't know, dude.
I didn't know this was all nonfiction.
Jesus. Yeah, that's right, dude. Crazy stuff, man.
Book of secrets.
Well, they're all a part of these secret societies, and they're all running this world, and maybe it explains why a lot of these horrible things have happened to us very recently, even. I saw this on the Telegraph. I wanted to show you, and I think we're starting to see a slow leak these days about kind of the evil that was unfurled upon us about 4 years ago that we seem to be forgetting rapidly. And here it is, the Pfizer accused of bringing discredit on pharmaceutical industry after COVID social media posts.
It was their posts that did it.
Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't the vaccine that killed everybody, you know?
They're starting to discredit the Pfizer, which is nice. I'm enjoying this. We need to go down that road a little bit and then bring on, you know, next... I think we should be having it soon. They're supposed to be bringing Fauci in, right? With Rand Paul. They're going to do the Rand Paul versus Fauci fisticuffs.
I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Of words. See, you predicted this, much to my chagrin. We're going to forget about COVID. Time will pass. Nobody will be held accountable. And Fauci will retire on the beach with Jeffrey Epstein somewhere in Thailand.
I was going to pull a Hillary Clinton. You kill a bunch of people in Benghazi, and then 10 years later, you're on TV criticizing Donald Trump for whatever reason. You know what I mean? For something he tweeted. He's the worst person because he tweeted something, you know?
You know,
same thing with Anthony Fauci.
Benghazi was interesting, though. They were able to make Benghazi seem like it was this witch hunt by the Republicans, when in reality, yeah, it was, I mean... Why was Benghazi such a big deal?
Because they lied to us. It was a huge failure on the Obama administration. Mostly Hillary Clinton's fault. She
yes.
was the Secretary of State at the time. It was just a terrible situation.
Pretty similar to how Afghanistan unfolded under Biden.
Exactly, Afghanistan. Yeah, it's the exact same thing. And then anytime the Democrats make a mistake, it gets brushed under the rug. The media doesn't talk about it. You know what I mean? And then Donald Trump makes a stupid tweet, and that's news for a week.
That's right.
It's kind of insane.
Yeah, and Afghanistan's interesting, which is more recent than Benghazi. Benghazi was 10 years ago, right? 2014?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Benghazi was 10 years ago. Afghanistan, 3 years ago, maybe, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so instead of asking yourself, are you better than 4 years ago, is Afghanistan better than 4 years ago? Now the women, I mean, the women have got kicked out of schools. They're not allowed to have jobs anymore. They're right back to the Sharia law.
How many soldiers died in Benghazi? Was it four?
Was it only four? I thought it was more.
It might have been more. How many soldiers died in the debacle of trying to evacuate Afghanistan? Was it the 13 that died in that attack?
Yeah.
13, right?
Yeah.
How quickly we forget.
I don't think there's a lot of soldiers, though, in Benghazi, because it was like a embassy, so it was like a lot of embassy workers.
That was like an ambush, right? I can't remember Benghazi at all, now that I really kind of toss around my head.
2012, yeah, 4 people died.
4 people, okay.
Yeah.
And so you had...
September 11, 2012, armed militants attacked a U.S. diplomatic compound and then a CIA annex in Benghazi, Libya, killing 4 Americans, including U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens.
A patriot, Mike. He died in the name of America.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, man.
We had to send in special forces to get him out.
Yeah, I remember it was a mess. But what's crazy when you look back on it, you know, our media was in love with Obama. The guy couldn't do any wrong. So it really did feel like, oh, here comes Fox News obsessing over Benghazi.
I know.
And the media was trying to poo-poo it and downplay it, but in reality, dude, Benghazi was kind of a major debacle, and...
That came out in the Hillary emails. That's what she tried to hide, because they knew the attack was coming. Everybody was, like, warning them to evacuate, and they didn't, because they didn't want to make fucking Obama... We seem to lose a lot of fucking embassies when Democrats are in charge.
I know.
Did you see that list of Joe Biden has had to evacuate 8 embassies?
8?
Since he's in office? Yeah. It's an incredible list. You, like, forget about all of them because they just they'll throw it out there on a Friday night. Like, oh, yeah, in Nigeria, we abandoned an embassy. No big deal. Did you see my bracket? I mean, it's insane how they just brush it under the rug. No worries. Nobody will pay attention.
Caitlin Clark, man, she's rewriting the history of basketball. She's becoming the face of basketball. Michael Jordan, who?
Insane.
Yeah, that is crazy. I guess what would be thrown into that ring now is Haiti, right? We definitely abandoned the embassy in Haiti. I can imagine they're cooking everybody there and eating them.
Yeah, we lost it twice.
That's amazing.
Well, that's what it is. We've lost 5, but 2 of them we lost twice.
Oh, okay. Twofers. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. All right, man. I like it. Very
nice.
Oh,
wait, sorry. That was from 7 months ago. Dude, I'm not even joking. That was from 7 months ago. March 18th, 2024. In evacuating the U.S. Embassy in Haiti, the Biden administration sets a record for embassies evacuated in one presidential term with 11. We've had 11 evacuations.
What?
That doesn't make America look strong.
This is looking like we're on a bit of a downfall, I'm not going to lie. I mean, we're kind of losing our outposts around the world. This is like the end of the Roman Empire.
Guess who was number 2? Guess who was number 1 before Biden?
Trump?
Pedro Sotero. He lost 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is something up when the Democrats come into power. It's almost like they want to open up the border to anyone who wants to come in. And they also want to abandon our military services overseas. And so anybody can just kind of walk into the embassies and kick us out of their country.
Dude, this is an insane list, man. Biden lost Burma, Chad, Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Ukraine, Belarus, Russia, Nigeria, Sudan, Niger, Haiti.
Oh, man. We're in a rough spot, dude.
And Haiti was actually 4 times. He lost it all 4 years. He had to evacuate it in 21, 22, 23, and in 24.
Wow. Oh, man. You should get some sort of prize for that. Right? I think there's a medal for doing all 4 years, losing an embassy in the same country.
You should have skipped 24 and then done 3 more in your next term. Get that repeat three-peat.
That's right, dude. None of this matters because Joe Biden hired that lady fella, Rachel Levine, to run our health services.
Oh, man, that's I think John Kerry's been taking her advice.
Yes.
That's why the way he does.
That's why we shouldn't worry. And remember, Pete Buttigieg, the gay fellow who breastfed his kids for 2 years or 2 months, that guy's in charge of transportation. See, everything's good. Who cares about all this?
Nothing bad with transportation happened during this presidential
term. We're checking boxes, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we covered all the Paxlovid and the chemtrails. I'm glad I got all that out of the way here. And we
Polavay.
Did you want to see the Polavay?
I'm dying to. Yeah, he's my favorite Canuck.
I love the Polavay. There's no doubt about it. He's on fire these days. And this could be a recent clip. Could be an older clip. I have no idea, but he. It's crazy it's taking a Canadian to fire me up about patriotism in America. You know, like this guy's kind of getting me like, yeah, man, let's do it for the people, baby. Come on. Right? He's Canadian.
Anybody like this?
So I got the Polavay here. It's a grainy little shot there, but you'll get the picture and the words come through, hopefully. He's talking about Trudeau and his illiberalism.
Justin Trudeau's not a liberal. It might surprise you to hear me say that. He's not a liberal. Liberals used to believe in liberty, and conservatives believed in conserving it. That was the common sense consensus we had in Canada. Justin Trudeau does not believe in liberty. He believes in government control. He wants to control your money. He wants to control your kids. He wants to control the economy, control your speech, control your bank account. He wants to control everything. That is illiberal. It's the opposite of liberalism. I don't want to run your life. I want to run your government. And a government that does a few things well rather than a lot of things poorly, a government that minds its own business and lets people live their lives. That is the traditional.
All right. Yeah.
Can I vote for him? Can you come run in America for president? I mean, Jesus Christ. Just to hear somebody talk like that would be great in our politics.
Yeah, man. Honestly, isn't that refreshing to hear?
Like, say what you want about Trump, dude. Trump cares about Trump. He might not do as bad as Biden, but he doesn't give a fuck about you. That guy sounds like he might actually help the country, help the people in the country, you know?
I really like the government doing a few things well, not a lot of things poorly, which is just the argument of everybody who has been on the right side or crossed to the right side from the left side after the insane, draconian, dare I say, fascist-like policies that were inflicted upon us during the COVID lockdown era. You know, we want to hear people talk about less government. Get out of my life, man. I don't want to have to, you know, blame anything that's a problem of mine on the government. But I seem to be doing that more often than not. I'm driving around and having to get my car tire fixed because Jared Polis won't do anything about the roads in Colorado. Or
but he's very concerned about trannies in Texas not being able to get surgery.
Exactly, you know, dude.
Like, why? It's not your fucking job. You're the governor of Colorado. Fix the fucking highway in Colorado.
I can't get through the street light because we got the squeegee boys blocking traffic for 2 miles over at Santa Fe and Alameda. Thanks, Mayor of Colorado, Mike Johnston, who beat out the three other Democrats for his position. You know, like, come on, folks.
But don't worry, because they're spending that money on busing in girls from Republican states so that they could have abortions for free, Frank.
I know. Like,
that's not what you're here for. This is not what you're here for. You know what I mean?
We're giving away abortions, and we are a sanctuary. That's good stuff. Head by all, man.
As Bill Maher would say, everybody in your state could get high, get abortions. What was the other one?
He was really into it. Yeah, how everybody who left California for Texas must be really regretful because now they can't get high, watch porn, and have abortions.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. California doesn't look so bad, huh?
That's
right. You can't even trans your kid in Texas. It's crazy. Fucking crazy.
Man, there is a major movement happening right now, particularly overseas, where they are full-on banning any of the transitional kind of surgeries or techniques and hormone therapies. I mean, it's widespread. They are not reporting it here. We are all in on the, if you are, you know, below the age of 18, we're going to give you the hormone treatments and the surgeries that you want. But overseas, man, they are putting the old kibosh on all of that stuff.
Yeah, they're protecting their kids.
Yes.
Did you see that clip of the Muslim man? I forgot what state it was in. Maybe Minnesota. It was pretty scary.
Man, enlighten me. Yeah.
He was saying pretty much, like, you can't stop the Muslims in America. Even if you, he said, even if you close the border, it doesn't matter. There's so many here, and we are reproducing, and you're not. It was like, damn.
I did see that. Yeah, they are all about making Canada and the UK as well is seeing an issue with this, where they are intent on spreading Islam and turning these nations into Muslim nations. Absolutely. They are intent on doing that to America.
No, look at Rashida Tlaib. How is she in power? It's because these people, they move in, they go into one area, take it over, and then start electing officials.
Yes. It's craziness, it's, man. Shaliba doesn't like America. She's been on the record. She's the one that goes out there and like supports all other countries and religions except for America.
I know. They should all be kicked out of Congress.
Oh, the crew? What are they? The crew? No.
Squad. The whole squad. You know what I mean? You should have to love America before you can represent America or Americans.
Yeah.
You know?
They are the Toon Squad in my book. I'll tell you what, dude. Bunch of freaking cartoon characters. That's all they are. It's sad that they power.
If you ever watch anybody who's testifying and like AOC starts asking questions, you can't believe she's a real person in Congress. Right? She's a box of rocks, man.
Well, I think she's actually an actress, and I think she was purposely put in her position to sway idiots, which she did a fine job of doing. She's got the whole package there. She's Latinx. She's woke. She's got the boobs. You know, she's feisty and spicy and all over the social medias, hip with the TikToks. I mean, that's who they needed, and she's there for what they absolutely needed to infuse their party with some youth. Take out AOC for a second from the Democratic Party. Name me the youth movement in the Democratic Party.
Beto.
Fetterman, stroke guy, he's turning into a Republican as he heals from his stroke.
Beto O'Rourke.
Like, who's the youth movement of the Democrats, right? They bank on AOC.
Yeah.
It's almost like they created her in a Hollywood lab somewhere, and they feed her scripts, and she doesn't even think about what she's saying. She's just an idiot and, you know, repeats it.
Who's that other Muslim chick? She's the young one, too. The other member of the squad?
I don't know. There's the bald one.
Isn't that Rashida Tlaib?
I thought Rashida Tlaib had the wrap around the head.
That's what I was thinking. Who's the bald one?
I don't know. Yeah, they're all rough, dude. When you look at a picture of the squad and you're just like, it's a group of chicks you don't want to encounter at the bar. Right, you're gonna wait your turn for them to leave and have their, you know, this is, I don't want to mess with that. That's a tough group of lesbos,
right? Definitely there. Don't want them at your house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's
brutal.
Yeah, it's Tlaib, Shaliba, and AOC, and
Rashida Tlaib's the like gargoyle looking one. You know which one I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
the bald one's Ayanna Pressley.
That's the one. Yeah, Pressley.
The hair rap is Ilhan Omar.
That's Ilhan Omar. That's the one I was thinking of.
The ugly one. I guess Ilhan Omar is the other young one.
Ilhan Omar is the one that I was thinking of, who I think has allegedly some sort of salacious relationship with her brother on some level, if I'm not mistaken.
She married him to get him into the country.
There you go. All right. Yeah, she married the brother to get him. All right. But she's the one who's always spewing out the anti-American mumbo-jumbo and how she's a Muslim first in, yes. in whatever her country that she's from second, and then she's American. Well,
she's
then
from Somalia.
If that's your hierarchy, you shouldn't be allowed in Congress. That should be a disqualifier.
No, I hate it when she talks about her old country. You're from Somalia, bitch.
I know.
Hard to think of a worse place on earth than Somalia. It's so bad there. You guys still have pirates.
I tell you what, Rashida Tlaiba, whatever, Ilhan Omar, whatever your name is, if America's so racist, let's send you back to Somalia, see how much better it is over there. How are you doing over in Somalia versus over here in this institutionally racist country?
It's so good in Somalia. The young men are looking around and like, you know what? We should just build a speedboat out of garbage and become pirates. we'll grab that engine out of that broke down truck, throw it on this wood boat that we made, and we'll go storm ships. It's insane.
Just like their idols, Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, Mike. They just wanted to be pirates out in the open seas, man.
I love about that part of the book, how they're pirates, but they're on the Mississippi.
That's right, man. So, I feel like there were some serious, actual Mississippian pirates back in the day.
No,
absolutely,
so?
Yeah, dude. The Mississippi was a major channel for transporting goods. I mean, it still is, I believe, but back in the day, I think it was a huge vein of commerce.
No, it's fun.
No.
Where are you going to run to? You're either going upriver or downriver.
Well, no, the pirates, I think you can, I think they figured it out. You know, it's pirating.
The Caribbean so many little.
I guarantee you had pirates in the Mississippi. Come on. No pirates? You could you're right, you go one direction, but if you go faster, you paddle faster.
You could just call ahead or something, you know? Like Pirates in the Caribbean, you had all those islands you could race and hide, and like if you didn't know how to approach, you got stuck on the rocks if you were chasing them, you know. Like,
oh yeah, that makes more sense. Absolutely.
Plus, even if you're faster than me on the Mississippi, I'm right behind you. You got to unload that shit you stole, you know.
Right. Yeah. Good call. I might be a little off on my Mississippi pirates. I feel like there's a potential for some pirating on some level. You know, some thievery. Right? If you have goods coming down a channel, you're guaranteed thieves on some level, right?
I don't think you're far off, because I just saw here Pirates of the Caribbean 19. It's going to be the Mississippi Pirates.
Oh, that's right. Starring Johnny Depp. He's making a comeback, man. No, they're rebooting the Pirates of the Caribbean. I told you, they're going to recast it. All new, young black lesbians. It's going to be a great cast. Every single one. Black lesbian.
Leslie Jones' schedule? It's full. She's booked for the next 2 years, all these reboots. That's the best part. There's just not that many black lesbians.
Dude, I can't wait to get the black lesbian Tony Stark when they remake Iron Man. That's going to be so awesome. It's going to be just what the doctor ordered.
In 10 years, it's going to go the other way, so they're going to do the real story of Lori Lightfoot. It's going to be played by a white man.
Yes,
it's going to be great.
Yeah, the pendulum's going to have to swing in some way or another. In regards to that, I mean, they've replaced everybody with the minority character now, so eventually, and I think we're kind of there, you could see it on the commercials, no white man exists when it comes to commercials in America. So eventually, right, it has to go the other way, where we're going to just get only white men again.
Yeah, I think that's what Trump was talking about, make America great again.
Ah, yes, I'm starting to understand that white supremacy thing.
I don't think we're superior. I just think we should be dominant. Maybe a white dominancy guy?
No. Oh, man.
Terrible.
All right. Well, did we cover it all? I think we got it all here. Oh, I got the one last. Do you want me to do it? The fella talking about his experience in Antarctica with the direct energy weapon. Do the do. Mike sent me this one, which I believe I've seen this a long time ago. But as with every fantastical and outrageous tinfoil hat conspiracy theory that I toss out one way, Mike sends it back my way 3 to 6 months later. It's usually the time scale here. So we've been talking direct energy weapons for a long time, especially since the incident in Lahaina. We all remember that tiny island, or part of Maui, I believe, where Oprah Winfrey needed to put in a new pool in her backyard, so she wiped out half the neighborhood with her Jewish space laser.
Well, it was a great view for all of these sub-billionaire people who had shitty homes blocking it.
You know? That's right, man. She needed to improve the view. So we're talking space lasers. It came out last week on the 60 Minutes CBS show where they're alleging now that that whole bizarre Havana Syndrome situation that unfolded in, what'd I say? Was it Havana Syndrome? Yeah, in Cuba, where a bunch of people at the embassy got these weird brain situations going on. They're alleging it was a direct energy weapon now, some sort of space laser, right?
From Russia.
From Russia. So we're admitting now that everybody's got the space lasers, not just the Jews.
And I didn't even know there were Jews in Russia.
I know, it's amazing.
Not Russian Jews. Oh.
Oh, man, Kanye was right. They're everywhere, man.
Take it over.
All right, so here's a fellow who claims, allegedly, to have witnessed some stations down in Antarctica, and he's going to give us a quick lowdown. This is absolutely fascinating.
I physically held a key that opened every single door in the facility. I had complete access to every compartment they manufactured.
What are you blowing the whistle on?
That there are technologies at the South Pole Station that people can't even consider that exist on this planet. Directed energy weapon systems is something that people need to get into their vocabulary fast. The Ice Cube neutrino detector is not simply a passive listening device as presented for the science that they're claiming it to do. It also has the capacity to transmit. There are embedded in the ice what are called digital optical modules, DOMs. They're about the size of a basketball. The array embedded in the ice is 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer. It is the world's largest telescope. And now, because we have proven that it can transmit, it's the world's largest directed energy weapon system. It is responsible for the earthquakes in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Oh, it stops right there. I thought I had a longer clip, but that might be it. But either way, I think we got the point across, right, Mike?
So they're doing the earthquakes.
From Alaska, I recommend for everybody to check out what they can. You can easily Google it up. HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, HAARP Technology.
That was the South Pole.
They have multiple HAARP facilities. If you had spectacular, you know, earthquake and weather modification technology, would you just have it in Alaska? No, you put it down in Antarctica, got yourself a facility here in Boulder to test things out on the populace. I mean, they're all over the place with these things, man. Plus, I think all these other countries, China is doing outrageous weather modification, and they don't hide it whatsoever, whereas here they try to pretend like they're coming up with new names for these new clouds that you're seeing in the sky, right?
Yeah, no, they turn the desert into farmland.
Yes.
The Gobi Desert.
Absolutely. And they're not hiding it. They're messing with the weather. Same with Saudi Arabia and the Emirates. They're literally creating mini lakes and islands to have resorts for people to vacation and, like, jet ski.
They're saying, like, in the UAE, they'll make it rain for, like, an hour a day.
Yeah. So
pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. But it's annoying that we have it going on when we do, when you just want the sunny day. all that aside, considering that we had the earthquake go down in New York, and this is a pre-recorded show on Sunday, probably airing audibly on or in an audio format on Wednesday. But I have to say, if there's an earthquake during the solar eclipse, we gotta blame the HAARP facility down in Antarctica, right? I mean, there's no other reason for it to occur, man.